Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy worn mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all they that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over it. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Truly my soul, and I know that your soul, is magnifying the Lord this morning as we exalt his name, as we exalt his word together. For we know that the name of the Lord, Yeshua, is a mighty power. The righteous went into it, and they are saved. I have read for your soul's inspiration and for your self-motivation the 103rd division of the book of Psalms, telling us to bless the Lord. For when we bless the Lord, the very blessings of the Lord will fall upon us. We will be overtaken by the very splendors of heaven itself. We will experience the height, the depth, and the very breadth of God's presence in our life, through divine favor, through divine mercy. Blessed are the merciful, praise his holy name, for they shall obtain mercy. It is not by accident nor coincidence that you tuned in to the Wisdom Alliance Network, heard over the blogtalkradio.com station, heard on all seven continents throughout the world. Why? Because the word of God is quick. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, so sharp, so extensive, so intensive, it can divide the bone and the marrow, the sinews from the nerve. It is so preposterous that God's presence watches over the word. And when we speak the word, we live the word, we walk the word, we talk the word, we sleep the word, we taste the word. God said, my word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the purpose in which it is set out to do. So when we please God, he said he'll cause our enemies, the opposing forces of this very world, to be subject to us, nothing but dust underneath our feet. He will cause our enemies, our opposing forces, to be but a footstool. What do you do with a footstool when you're tired of it? You take it, you kick it somewhere. You take it, you put it in the corner. If you really don't want the footstool anymore, it's your
discretion is your disposal. You can take it and cast it asunder. And this is the God that we serve. What a mighty God we serve, as the songwriter said. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. That's right. And because we know that if he is the mighty God that we serve, that we love, that we admire, we adore, that he's going to do great things for us as he's doing right now. That's right. When you talk about the name of God, God has numerous personalities. We have to understand the complexities of God. We understand the complexities of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, our atoning force that reunited us back to God the Father. We know that he is Jehovah, the original name of God. We know him as Elohim, the creator of all things. Elion, the most high God. Adonai, my Lord, my master. El-Ra, God who sees. El Shaddai, God the Almighty. Jehovah is sir, God is our helper. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Jehovah Roy, God is our shepherd. Jehovah Sabaoth, God the host of armies. Jehovah Meshechedem, God saves and sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. Jehovah Nissi, God our banner. Jehovah Tisfer, God our righteousness. Jehovah Tiskenu, God the author of our righteousness. We have to understand the very elementation of his presence. No man, no organized establishment, no religious organization, no affiliation can contain God inside of a definitive area or aspect. He is universal. He is widespread. He is widespread. And this is the reason why we cannot allow ourselves to be indoctrinated. To be indoctrinated means we become controlled. We become manipulated, monopolized on. We become limited. Our ability to move forward, our ability to break the vortexes of evil, to destroy the strongholds, are limited because of the letter. And Apostle Paul warned us about the letter here on the Wisdom Alliance Network, that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So when you allow the breath of God to breathe inside of you, miracles can and do happen. As you're listening to the sound of my voice, receive the greatness that God has for you in this present life. Receive the miracles of God on this day. May the miracles of God continue to manifest and manifold and multiply. That's right, from the latitude to the longitude, from the longitude to the plenitude, because God is the God of plenitude. Amen. And he's showing us his faith, his divine mercy, his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence at this very day and time. So we thank God for you today. This is your appointment. This is your day of deliverance. This is my day of deliverance. Call a neighbor. Call a friend. Call a coworker. Call a family member. Someone out there in listening land needs this word to complete them, to give them the establishment of walking on the path of greatness in their life, to break those strongholds, those negative energies, those demonic forces that have been holding them captive, that have been manipulating and draining them of the creativity, of draining them of the divine favor. These forces are real. You can sit there and read your psychological assessment journals talking about the various types of classifications of mental incapacities and instabilities, but only the name of Jesus can break these strongholds. Only the name of Jesus can drive back these forces. Only the name of Jesus can do what no other power upon this planetary domain can do. You can go into all of your elementations of research, talking about the valid proof in the reliable experiment and the hypothesis. We know that academics is indeed essential in this secular world, but when it comes to the spiritual world, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and exalting itself above God, and holding every thought into captivity until the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because you see, at the name of Jesus, Satan trembles. At the name of Jesus, negative circumstances have to decimate. At the name of Jesus, the no's become yes. At the name of Jesus, the hopeless becomes hopeful. Amen. The broken down becomes the mended, the repaired, the revived, the refreshed, and renewed. At the name of Jesus, call his name. Stop depending upon the limitation of mankind, because mankind is limited. And when mankind refuses to submit to the will of God, Satan influences the thoughts. Satan influences the behaviors. No, he doesn't make anybody do anything, but the temptation arises. If you don't have a stronghold, a foothold in God, you'll fall victim. So in the name of Jesus, when those things are happening behind our back, on the side of us, and even in secret, God will reveal them and destroy them right before us. That's right. And this is the mighty God that we serve. We need to go back and give him his respect that he deserves and watch God just do the impossible on our behalf. And we just praise the Lord for you this morning, a very unusual way to go into the broadcast. But nevertheless, we say, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way. And to the grieving families who have lost loved ones within the last few weeks and even the last few months, be confident to know this is the word, a word of knowledge. You know, God sends his word through the logos, the instructional teaching, and through the rhema, the anointed quickening word. Know that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. That's right. And when they left this world, it was by delegation, their choice. They weren't taken. God permitted. See, we must understand something. God is not something that you set on your dresser. I mean, Jesus Christ is not an icon that you put on your desk to give you consolation. These are nothing but metaphors. But no, he is a spirit, an all-powerful spirit that dwells in the universe. And Jesus Christ made God personal on our level. When he came, he's God manifested in the flesh. And then when God permitted them to go home, it's a rough go of things, but we have to understand that choice was between them and the Lord. So understand that they're confident in the very essence of the kingdom of heaven. And it's our goal and our mission that we make it there someday. That's right. And doing God's way. That's right. And we've got to do that. And don't allow people who are sitting around and say, well, how do you know that they made it in heaven or not? They did this, they did. The scripture tells us God will have mercy upon whom God will have mercy upon. That's the Lord's decision. So don't allow people to do your thinking and your estimating and your presumptionalization. Don't allow them to do that, because you are cheating and depleting yourself and putting yourself in a way that is depressing. So don't do that. Let go and let God, and know that they're in a far better place than this world. That's right, because we see that the world is definitely eroding every day. And the saddest part to me, as being a biblical teacher, as an evangelist, as an educator, as a leader, is to see the congregations that are just eroding, refuting and refusing, playing around. It's high time to get out of that playing mode and to get down to the hooks and the crux of what's really going on. And who put it better than Brother Jeremiah? That's why Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Why did Jeremiah weep so much? Because he saw the infraction that was in the individuals who claimed to be spiritually led. That's why the children of Israel, God had did so much and had just exonerated his love, his divine favor toward these people, the chosen nation. Why were they chosen nation? Because they were the only people in the early phase of civilization that believed in a monotheistic or one Unitarian God, the true God. And the other societies, you know, the Assyrians, the Sumerians, the Hittites, and the other ancient civilizations were caught up into polytheism, which means a multiple God belief system. So this is the reason why the children of Israel were considered as the favored by God. And we, as taking on the name of Jesus Christ, we are spiritual Israel. So this message is talking to us, as Jeremiah was telling, come back home. Come back to the landmark where you belong. Get your affairs in order so that God's favor will fall upon you, because if you don't, death and destruction. That's why you see so many things happening in the secular world as well as the congregational setting, the great falling away. You know, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Messiah, told us that the time will come, men are not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to come, I'm telling you, teachers having itching ears, and they're going to lead people astray. He said, broad is the way, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many follow therein. But he said, straight is the way, narrow is the path that leads unto eternal life, and very few are going to find it. So thank God we're on the road. That's right, the road to fulfillment. We're on the road to blessings, to miracles, to the very presence of God to please him. And I want you to take your words, your sword. This is your fighting mechanism. The 16th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. You know, the Lord led me here, and I began to go over the scripture. I said, Lord, how does this tie in to what you want me to say? But, you know, it's not for me to know. It's for me to be obedient. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. We need to stop asking so many questions. And I begin to see the timepiece of what God is trying to say to his people this morning. And here, let's start off with the first verse. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shall thou have sons or daughters in this place. God is saying to Jeremiah, don't get settled down with these people, because these people are contrary. That means if you're in a congregation, they're not preaching and teaching the word of God. I'm saying follow me as I follow Christ. The pastor is leading that Christian example. You don't see the Holy Spirit moving and you know, being made manifest in that congregation. The Spirit of God and the presence of deliverance is not happening there. You need to pray about it and ask God, is this where you want me to be? Sometimes God sends us to locations to complete assignments. And when you come and you brought the anointing and done what you can do, God tells us to step back, to retreat. That's right, because these people need to be chastened. That's right. But when we're obedient, happy are we, because we obey the Lord. Third verse, for thus saith the Lord, concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begot them there in this land. I mean, they were a promiscuous people. They were a disobedient people. They were caught up in a trend of traditionalism. Traditionalism brings about idealism to the flesh, but it does not bring about deliverance in the kingdom of God. Fourth verse, they shall die of grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. Uh-oh, God is speaking. He's angry. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. What is God saying? God is angry. It's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living and angry God. He's saying because these people are reviling against the truth and they say that they are spiritual Israel, that they are my children doing my will, my purpose, and my way, they have turned from me. They begin satisfying and gratifying their flesh. They're getting involved into things that are not pleasing to me. They're turning a deaf ear to the truth. They're going about their own way, establishing their own righteousness. I am angry. I have brought them out. I have delivered them. I have given them. I have blessed them and prospered them. And this is the thanks that they give me. They have become selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed, hateful, grievous, disobedient, reviling against those who are righteous. I am angry. And as a result, I'm going to destroy them bit by bit, piece by piece, hardship, turmoil, tribulation. You know, the deceasing of their children, the rebellion of their children, the destruction of their society is going to take place because they refuse the truth. You can't be blessed when you turn a deaf ear to God. That's not balancing the harmoniousness of the universe. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning. I mean, don't feel sorry for them. There's not what goes on with this. Just say, Lord, have mercy and keep it moving. Neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I've taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercy. Now, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And we see that our Lord, our God El Shaddai, is angry because the very people that he favored, blessed, prospered, healed, delivered, have turned their back to live their own life, to abide in their own constitution, to live in a way that is pleasing to their flesh. And so God is angry toward them. And he's telling the prophets, and he tells us, don't sit with them, don't try to console them, because they have defiled me. That's right. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. That means I'm going to allow things to happen. As a repercussion, as a domino effect of their disobedience, their communities are going to be affected. Their households are going to be affected. The very essence of their gatherings are going to be affected because they refuse to repent. You know, First Chronicles 7:14, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I, what? Hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. That's right. But see, the recovery phase is the first element of people admitting, God, this is where I failed. This is where I did wrong. This is where I backslid. That's why people think backsliding is denouncing God, going out there, picking up pagan idols. No, the first phase of backsliding is rebellion. That's right. It's rebellion. It's pride. It's saying, no, this is my time, my way, my faith, no how, and no way for everything else. So he said, because of this, he says, I'm going to allow this to happen so that they can be chased and sore, so they can get their affairs back in order. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning. That means neither are the people going to come to their assistance in their time of mourning, because look what they have done unto me and to my people, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the drink of consolations to drink for their father or for their mother. He's saying, I'm not going to let anyone come to their assistance. I'm going to let them see what it is that they've done, that what they've done was blasphemous. How could anyone be so ungrateful to turn away from God after all God has done, brought them out of, made their enemies their footstool, and delivered them over and over again? So God, in his wrath, saying, I'm going to let it just saturate. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. What is God saying? Don't sit around and celebrate with them. He said, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Sometimes separation brings consolation. Sometimes separation brings revelation. People might say, you're antisocial. You don't like to be around people. No. When God tells us to come out, he means come all the way out. That's right. Sit in your home, in your own lonely corner, and communicate with God. Because God is trying to tell you something. He's trying to spare you from something. And sometimes people carry negative energy. They carry convoluted spirits that are not good. And if your faith is not operative at that time, those spirits will latch on to you and will drain you and absorb you. That's right. It's a form of spiritual warfare that's so inert and so sophisticated. So many people don't even know that they become under attack as a result of disobedience and being in the wrong company. He says, for thus saith the Lord God of hosts of Israel, behold, I will cause deceit out of this place in your eyes, and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. God says, I'm going to put a hold on your check. I'm going to put a separation between you and your gratification, because you have resisted me. You have disobeyed. You have disrespected. You have disaligned and disconnected, and you refuse to get your house in order. I have given you time. I have spared you. I have blessed you and sprung up. I have kept you in the very convoluting aspects of things that should have overtaken you, but you have not regarded these things as such. So it's when God blesses us and brings us out, we're to grab somebody else and bless them and bring them out. And see, this is how the kingdom of God is expounded and expanded upon earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What is this will? That we prosper in all things, to be in health, even as our souls do prosper. That his name is exalted like the very horn, that's right, of David. That's right. And it spreads forth like the green bay tree of Lebanon. That's right. So then what is God saying? Then shall you say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods. See, whoring after other gods, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. When you start exalting people and putting them above and beyond, God will just show you how great those people are. There's no salvation in them. There's no power in them. You know, because with all the money that they have, God can speak one word and say, give up the ghost. Everything that they have accumulated is left in the dust, and somebody is going to enjoy the presence of their pardons. Can we say amen? And have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. You'd be surprised when the people are so messed up psychologically. They honor and respect celebrities. what they have, what they've accumulated, what their posture is in the world, and have no respect unto God or Jesus Christ. That's the reason why God can't bring them out the hole that they're in. They can't absorb and receive the best that God has to offer because they're looking to man. And man will fail. God shows us over and over again, the most highly astute of so-called celebrities, God reveals the dark side of the human nature. But do we get the picture? No. We fall into the very crux of things as well. But thank God that I've been delivered from this type of behavior. And you need to be too. In order to experience the greatness of God, you've got to explore the greatness of God and allow the greatness of God to flow into your life. It says, and ye have done worse than your father, for behold, ye walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows the heart. See, the heart and the soul are intertwined and interconnected, and the mind and the spirit. That's the reason why the scripture tells us, as a man thinketh, that your spirit, so is he. But the affections of life, the issues of life, flow not from the mind, but from the heart. That's where your heart is. That's where your treasures are. That's right. And this is the reason why we have to have the right heart. And this is what King David, praise the Lord. He said, now, O Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. He said, deal with my soul. Then he said, create in me a right spirit. I mean, in my mind, how I think, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, my keeper, my provider, my protector, my domain, my dominion. He's saying, Lord, do this for me. And even as Jabez prayed, he said, oh, God would bless me indeed and enlarge my soul. He said, Lord, don't just allow me just to be materialistically wealthy, but allow me to just be blessed to the point that I would not consider doing evil. And those who don't need me any good, Lord, keep me from them so that I will be tempted to stray away. And God honor what Jabez said, and he'll honor us as well, even the more. Are we more than Jabez? Yes, because we carry his name. We are his children. We have been reunited back to the kingdom of God. It's time for us to pick up and go back home. That is our teaching today. The 13th verse, therefore will I cast you out of this land to a land that ye know not. Neither shall ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not shew you favor. What is God saying? Because you all refused to repent and to get your life right, you wouldn't come back home. You said, no, I'm going to wander in the wilderness a little while longer. God said, okay, disobedient ones. He says, I'm going to push you out. I'm going to get you out of my presence. I'm not going to deal with you at this point in time. I want you to see how much the world is going to do for you. That world that picked you up, and let's see how they're going to put you down. That's right. I'm going to let you taste the bitterness of your own doings. To those that spoke the truth, the ones that preach the truth, you wouldn't support them. You turn a deaf ear to the word. I'm going to let you see what the world is going to do to you, and I'm not going to bring you out at this appointed time or show you favor. I'm going to withdraw my protection. I'm going to withdraw some elements of my provisions for you just to get your attention and to let you know where all these wonderful things came from. The 14th verse, therefore, behold, the days come when the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That means that things were going to become so grievous, so sorrowful because of the disobedience of God's people. God was going to allow what happened in the world to happen in the congregation because God, when you take God out of the church, you take God out of the congregation, you have nothing but a social meeting place, a clubhouse. And God is not pleased. That's right. He said, but the 15th verse, but the Lord lived that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. What is God going to say? Once they realize what their sin was of disbelief, dishonor, disrespect, of pride, disobedience, and insolence, I'm going to have mercy upon them, and I'm going to bring them back to the original place. Once the world has given them a whipping and a kicking, they will realize who I am and who they are in me, and that they can do nothing outside of me. And to behold to the prophets and the prophetesses that speak the word, I'm going to bless them and multiply them, and they will then honor the prophets and the prophetesses that spoke my word. That's right. 16th verse. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. What's God saying? Once they get through being beat down, chased down, the very people that made them thought that they were their friends and they see who they really are, I'm going to actually allow them to come back and to take an assessment so they can see where the wealth of their beginnings came from and the origin of their blessings and divine favor. I'm going to bring them back, but they need to learn a lesson. It's time to come back home. The 17th verse. But mine eyes are upon all their ways. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding forth good and evil, listening audience. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. See, God judges, see, man judges out of his, but God judges the heart. God already knows before we do, he already knows what we're going to say before we say it. So that's the reason why we, by our words, are we justified and by our words are we condemned. And first, the 18th verse, I will recompense their iniquity. That means a lot of them reap what they sow, and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. That means they've disrespected what I've given them. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of the detestable and the abominable things. Their icons, their witchcraft, their sorcery, their idolatry. They have defiled the very place of God with these enchantments. And God is not pleased. God does not favor and support enchantments. They are damnable heresies. They are abominable things. They are literally disrespect unto God, saying, God, you're not powerful enough. I got to get something else going. No, he is the all-powerful. He is El Shaddai. There is no powerful more being in presence than he is. He is the one that chases Satan. He's the one that casts down dominions. That's like the demons, the imps, and all of these evil forces. That's right. All of these things are controlled by him, and in his name do we have the ability to control as well. 19 verse, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanities, and things wherein which there is no profit. Then goes, and here is Jeremiah saying, you know what, Lord, and when the other nations who may be confused at this time see all these things happen to the children of Israel, they're going to acknowledge their sins and they're going to come back home and they're going to say, God, forgive us. Forgive our ancestors for their infractions and allow us presence into your very kingdom as well and allow us to be your people. Shall a man make God unto himself and there are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. That is God speaking. He says, after all these things happen, and then down to the LCD, to the least common denominator, they're going to say, Lord God, help me, spare me, bless me, prosper me, deliver me, heal me, bring me out, Lord. He says, and in my infinite mercy, I'm going to raise them up. But they're going to have some scars. It's going to take time for the wounds to heal. But those scars will be reminders of saying it is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God and just stray away from the ark of safety. It's time to come back home. Some out there in listening audience in the radio land, you needed to hear that this morning. Pick yourself up and acknowledge your thoughts, your failures. We all have them. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. It's time for you to pick up and come back home. Pack your bags. Take all the trash out to the curb. Take all the things. Lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. And time to run that race and get back home where you can get into the training stable under the ark and the protection of the Almighty God, that he can bless you, heal you, provide for you, deliver for you, and to make miracles happen in your life. Take that blessing with you this week, and we expect the very best that God has to offer by way of the Wisdom Alliance Network. He's got your host with the most, your entire biblical teacher, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Modus Semi Ronnie, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't be afraid to reach up and reach out and touch the hem of his garment that you may be made whole. Tune in real soon, and we'll see you then. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. You can always hook up with us on the Facebook page, the Wisdom Alliance Network. inbox me your prayer request, and we will be sure to stand in agreement with you. Be blessed, and we'll see you soon.